today I'm at Westbridge School
yeah.
with Marsha de Cordova. You are the Battersea MP. Yeah. It's quite a special day today. They're finishing off their term
yeah.
and they have a very special club called their Politics Club. Tell yeah. me about
it. It's their pupil parliament and it's been going for a number of years now. And each year they elect Prime Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, and then they have their cabinet members which who have different portfolios, whether it's on things like climate and the environment or equalities. But it's, I think it's a really good way around teaching the young people about what the role of having a responsibility is, but also around going for a campaign and being elected to represent the views and the opinions of their peers. And also they get to plan events. So recently they had a sleep out where they were raising money for homelessness here in Battersea, which I think, you know, these young children wanting to do that is just amazing and wanting to make a difference. And today we're here at their end of term summer fair, and I had the pleasure of having both the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister taking me around the summer fair, and they were wonderful.
Well, that's a good thing. And of course, now they're talking about dropping the voting age to 16 and 18. Hopefully this will come through the whole school curriculum, because we want our youngsters to know what they're voting for, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, I think they should be teaching children about their role in terms of civil society, but also about democracy and about voting and the role and responsibility that they have when they become, it might be by 16 or, you know, 18, whatever the case may be. But it's important that every young person understands what the role and responsibilities are. I'm really pleased that the Labour government are going to be introducing votes at 16. It's a campaign that I've supported for many years. I think it's a step in the right direction.
That's great. So let's move on to tennis. Wimbledon's just finished.
Yay.
You've been at Battersea Park
yeah.
promoting grassroots tennis, tennis for everyone. How did that turn out?
Well, it was really important for me to ensure that tennis is both affordable and is accessible to everybody. And that means here in Battersea, I would like to see young people have the opportunity to play tennis. And, you know, the cost of it should not be a barrier to preventing them from doing so. So it was really important within that Wimbledon tennis fortnight that we kind of raised awareness about the campaign and what we're trying to achieve. I don't know if you know, but in Battersea Park, they've got, you know, more than 18 tennis courts there. And I want to make sure they're used, but they're used by local people and also for young people and not older folks to have the opportunity to play sport.
Yeah. And are they
and
used?
Keep fit as well, yeah.
Of course. And are they used by lots of young people? And is coaching expensive, or is there coaching available to them?
Well, coaching can, I mean, at the moment, coaching can be quite unaffordable for some folks. And so for me, it's making sure that we have the right package of support in place so that we can ensure that where it needs to be, that tennis is subsidised. I know that in other boroughs across London, they do offer such schemes, and I'd like to see that happening right here in Battersea. And so when we met in Battersea Park, along with the local authority, Wandsworth Council, along with the Enable, who manage Battersea Park, and also run the tennis programme there as well. So working with them to make sure, A, they're bought into the idea of ensuring that tennis is both affordable, but also wanting to see them do more to ensure that it reaches into all our schools. I think every school in Battersea should have the opportunity to play tennis. I think every young person should have that opportunity. And I don't want there to be any barriers to preventing young people from accessing sport in that way. And so whatever steps I can take to remove those barriers, then I'm going to be doing them.
That's great. Let's talk about Lavender Hill and the closing of the police desk in Lavender Hill. What are your thoughts on that one?
There are no words to express my anger at the Met Police's decision to want to close that front desk at Lavender Hill. And, you know, I've put out a statement about it, and I really do urge them not to go ahead with the closure. At the moment, in the borough of Wandsworth, Lavender Hill Police Station was the only
yeah.
public access front desk. If you close that, they would be expecting my constituents to travel all of the way to Kingston, which is potentially a 40 to 60 minute journey. In fact, Lambeth Police Station would be closer, which is in a whole different borough. So I'm really hoping that the Met will reconsider their idea. I totally understand the constraints that they're under, but my constituents need to feel safe, and I want them to be able to have a police station that they can walk into.
Yeah. And is there a police presence in your constituency, like PCSOs or PCs? Are there PCs on the beat around in the constituency that people can see and are aware of?
Well, we do have a good police presence, and that's due to the campaigning that I've been doing for a number of years for more neighbourhood policing. So, you know, it's not either or. We want neighbourhood policing, and we also want a police presence a physical presence where people can go to, but also people feel safe in their environments, which my community does do, but I don't want to take away any service that would potentially put that at risk.
Yeah, a lot of the police are going quite digital. There's Met Engage is going in the Southwest, where police think people can just go online and make their comments. Not everybody wants to go online, or is it able to go online, are they?
Well, exactly. That's why it could never be an either or. I think one should complement the other. Absolutely, the police should be moving forward with the times, but digital access, as we know, is a challenge for some people. It's not always accessible. And for those that are digitally excluded, then they would be excluded from that. There isn't to say the police can't find other public spaces like libraries that they could use. That potentially could be an option for them. But to think you can just get rid of a front desk is just, in my view, absurd, and they shouldn't be doing it. Yeah.
Let's move on to your pavement parking bill.
Yes, so as you know, I brought my pavement... The pavement parking bill was brought to Parliament and had its first reading. And really it's about preventing obstacles being left on the pavement. We do have the wonderful thing in London, there is a ban, but nationally there isn't. But we are now seeing a problem with e-bikes and those micro-scooters where they are becoming hazardous on our footpaths. And I want there to be more enforcement to either have designated spaces for them to park where they're not causing obstructions for not just families with pushchairs, but for disabled people and people that are blind or partially sighted. It's really important that we have clear walkways for everyone to make sure that our footpaths are both accessible and inclusive. So I'm really pleased the government are going to be bringing forward their legislation that will hopefully seek to try and curb some of the rogue behaviours with those that are using the e-bikes and e-scooters.
Finish quickly, I care. You recently said you want to reconnect primary and secondary care. How do you think that should be done, and do you think it's not being done at the moment?
Well, see, so I previously have been calling for a national eye health strategy, and what that strategy sought to do was a number of things. So firstly, around raising public awareness, creating a clear pathway for somebody who's experiencing sight loss so they get all the right support at the right time, joining up primary and secondary care, because let's face it, if somebody's experiencing challenges with their eyes, they should be able to be cared for in their community. You know, we know there's a crisis within the workforce. We want to tackle some of those issues. But more importantly for me, it was about also getting more research and gathering data and evidence to demonstrate some of the challenges around sight loss, because every day, 250 people begin to lose their sight. And we know that by 2050, it is estimated that 4 million people will be living with sight loss. And so you ask whether or not it's being done. Now, there are pockets of great examples of best practice where primary and secondary care are being joined up. Actually, it's leading to better outcomes for people. And more importantly, people are not losing their sight unnecessarily, because delays to treatment could cause blindness. And that's what we want to avoid. So I'm really pleased that the government's 10-year plan that was presented in Parliament a few weeks ago talks about this and wants to seek to kind of alleviate some of those challenges that people are facing within eye healthcare. And part of that is about joining up primary and secondary care.
Do you think they should have an optometrist in GP surgeries, for example? Because often GPs are asked about eye care. It's not a big part of their curriculum. If they had optometrists working with them in GP surgeries, that might help the situation.
So I think we can even go bigger than that. I think, if you think about all the different care provision, whether that's you're in your dentist, your optometrist, your local pharmacy and your GP, why can't we create hubs that would actually incorporate all of that? Because that would then make a huge difference to people, almost like a one-stop shop, available on high streets, but available in GP surgeries or wherever. But there are so more smarter ways of providing healthcare to people that would cover many areas, including eyes.
Thank you, Kumasha. I think we've covered pretty well 5 big topics.
Oh, well, yeah. Gosh, that felt really quick.
Thank you for talking to me.
No, my pleasure.
Enjoy your summer recess. Oh, quickly, highs and lows of this last year. A high and a low.
Oh, the last year, obviously, electing a Labour government was the high, and obviously all the brilliant work that we have been doing. And I suppose the low is not getting it all done fast enough, because I want to see more homes being built, and already we're building hundreds of homes right here in Battersea for people to buy and for people to rent, but I want to see more.
Marsha, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to a regular catch-up with you every month.
Oh, I'd love to. I can't wait. Thank you, and have a great summer.
You too.